You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends, there's a story told of two middle-aged couples that had gone out for a dinner date, and they were talking with one another. One of the gentlemen asked the other, says, "Fred, how was the memory clinic that you went to last month?" "Outstanding," Fred replied. "They taught us the latest psychological techniques such as visualization, association, and so on. It was great. I haven't had a problem since." His friend asked him, "Sounds like something I could use. What's the name of the clinic?" Fred looked back at him with a blank expression on his face, and he thought, and he couldn't remember. Then a smile broke over his face, and he asked, "What do you call that flower that has the long stem and the thorns?" "You mean a rose?" "Yeah, that's right." He, turning to his wife, says, "Rose, what was the name of the memory clinic we went to last month?" What are some things that you and I do to help us remember? Now, if you're really old school, you'll tie a string around your finger to help you remember some important event. Or you can have the post-it notes. And I saw a commercial yesterday where they are high-tech post-it notes. They stick to anything at any temperature. They're awesome. Just write a note on it and stick it on your bathroom mirror, and you'll be sure to remember. Or if you have a daily planner, those book-like things, you can flip open and you can scribble it in there and you can be reminded of it later on. It'd be awesome. But having been in many of our homes, I can tell you right now that some of you are old school. You take the calendar and you begin scrolling on the different dates, doctor's appointments and birthdays and all those things so that you can remember. Now, if you're a little more high-tech, you can program it right into your iPhone with an alarm that goes off. And that's what I do. Not that it always helps me remember, but at least I got a shot at it. But now, what about some of the things that you don't need help remembering at all? Such as your name, or the name of your family members, I hope you still remember, your address, what street you live on, your social security number, your PIN number, your cell number, your birthday, your anniversary, gentlemen, you better remember. I still remember my childhood telephone number from Newman Grove, Nebraska, from the mid-1970s. 402-447-2490. Why do I remember that useless piece of information? Because I'd heard it and seen it and recited it so many times, it literally became etched into my memory. Now, in our day's Old Testament lesson, the Israelites, they're in desperate need of remembering the steadfast love of the Lord. See, at the time, God, they were suffering a great deal, and they become quite desperate for anything of good news after their long-term captivity in the nation of Babylon. They were no longer in the promised land with all of the rights and privileges thereof. They were held in a foreign land. They didn't have any of their former privileges. They'd been deprived of all of them. And as they look back across that wilderness, Jerusalem now was lying in ruin, desolate. The temple had been completely and utterly destroyed. And their whole nation felt abandoned, afflicted, and oppressed. Now, in a few days, we are going to celebrate a new year. And as we stop for a moment, we look around ourselves as we say sayonara to 2019 and we step forward into a new year, we at times are just like the Israelites of old. Boy, we'd like to hear some good news. We would really love to have some uplifting remembrances of all God's faithfulness and His love for us. But if you look around yourself in the world today, it doesn't feel that way at all now, does it? as this 2020 presidential campaign fires up, you are not going to see any divisiveness or vitriol any more palatable than this election cycle. I guarantee it. It is abysmal how people treat one another and talk about people that they don't agree with. But not only on the outside of these walls, but even within this congregation, we face challenges. There's times when we get downright depressed. You know, as a congregation, we have a beautiful new addition, and along with that comes some financial insecurities. And we adopted a budget that is quite skeletal in nature, and we're going to try to maintain ministry and even expand the mission of this congregation with less staff in 2020 than in 2019. It is a time where we get a little bit desperate, if you will. And on a personal level, just raise your hand if you're not facing some kind of a physical or a relational or a financial or an emotional or a mental or a spiritual problem in your life right now today. See, very few of us have that blessed life where everything is perfect, holy, and righteous all the time, because we definitely walk through this valley of the shadow of death. And believe you me, there are skeletons all around us. And it really leads to a moment of despair. See, in so many ways, we're just like the Israelites of old. We are in desperate need of a God who delivers us. Elizabeth Johnson wrote a book, and she used a really pretty powerful a metaphor in her book called She Who Is. And she wrote these words. She says, if you found yourself at the bottom of a deep, dark pit with a broken arm, and you desperately yearn for a Savior God who can come with a long ladder and a strong flashlight to haul you to safety. Does that kind of feel like the world in which you and I live in today? We feel like we're at the bottom of a dark pit with a broken arm, and there is no one there, at times it seems, to help us. But what Isaiah did for the people of Israel was he began to remind them of God's great acts of steadfast love. And he exemplified that through their release from captivity, from slavery in Egypt. Reminding them that God had led them out by the shepherds, Moses and Aaron. He had led them through the wilderness. He had parted the water with his mighty arm. He provided for all the needs of his people. And then he goes on to remind them, in all their affliction, he, God that is, was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. Now, a lot of commentary study coughed up this information that the angel of his presence refers to the Messiah. And that just happens to be Jesus. And the reading of that sounds a little different when you say, in all their afflictions, Jesus was afflicted, and the angel of his presence, Jesus, saved them. Now, many commentators see it as the Messiah, and then Isaiah goes on to explain what this Messiah will actually endure. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. The image of what God did for Israel may also encourage us to look at our own personal lives and begin to begin to think about all that God has done for us. What has this deliverer God did for you and me throughout this past year? It's not a bad idea to begin the new year by just taking a moment to proclaim that call and response that many faith communities have, where the leader says, God is good, and the congregation responds, all the time. And then the leader says, all the time, and the congregation responds, God is good. Can we do it as Lutherans? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. That image of God's steadfast love, His grace, His mercy, and His peace is deeply moved by that vital in time of Isaiah for His people who were wanted to return from their exile in Babylon, but really saw no hope. They saw no way through. Now that original audience consisted of people who were desperate. They knew that God was good. But they really began to ask the question, but is He good all the time? Is this God one that really loves us? For these people's sake, the prophet proclaimed what is recorded in verse number 9. And it's a representation of a God, His messenger, or an angel that God had sent to do the saving work. And like I said, commentators say it's Jesus. Jesus came to do the saving work. And what work did He do? Isaiah says He redeemed them. Redeemed them is a great word because it means to buy back. It's the imagery of a slave or someone who's in debt to redeem it, to buy it back, but not with gold or silver in Jesus' case. He did it with His holy, innocent, and precious blood. For today I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are redeemed by Christ. You are a new creation. But He didn't stop there. He also says He lifted them up. I would like to say that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man was lifted up on our behalf. He was crucified for you. For as Isaiah says, you know, we've sinned. We have sinned against God, and He has become our enemy, but God has redeemed us by lifting up His own Son upon the cross of Calvary, that we may experience that redemption that comes through faith in Him. But He wasn't done yet. The Messiah also carried them all the days of old. Carried them. I want you to imagine the good shepherd as he goes out and seeks out that strayed sheep, which is you and I, because we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And when he found it, the good shepherd breaks its leg, not because it wants to inflict pain and misery, but he wants that lamb to understand to stay with the flock, to stay with us. And so the shepherd picks that lamb up and carries it back to the flock in the same way that God has done that for you and for me. You know, a lot in our lives as Christians is spent simply remembering all that God has done on our behalf. And what exactly has God done for us? Well, perhaps it'd be easier to say, what hasn't God done for us? Because that list would be quite short. God has done it all. He has saved you. He has sent His Son to die for you. He gives you life in the midst of death. He has sent His Holy Spirit to enlighten you with the gospel and lead you into that relationship with Him. He has adopted you through the water of your baptism. He has washed away your sin and brought you intimately into His family of believers, the body of Christ. And a few moments ago, you heard that your sins were absolved by the power of Christ, spoken through the lips of your pastor. And in a few moments, you'll kneel at the altar to receive the very flesh and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of all of your sins and for the strengthening of your faith. Well, what can we, you and I, do to help us remember every day what this Savior has done for us? Now, it's funny you should remember that, and I don't know if you've received the newsletter article yet, but I give you a challenge in the newsletter article. For your pastor is going to read through Scripture again this year, but I'm just like you are. I get kind of lazy and I procrastinate, I get a little bit behind, so I'm challenging the congregation to keep me on track. In the same way, I want to challenge you this year to set aside time to memorize Scripture, to incorporate it into your thoughts, to be brought up with those hymns and those songs, those spiritual songs that lighten our hearts, to pray for one another daily. And to do daily devotions, encourage one another in your faith walk, especially as a brother or sister in Christ is brought down into the depths of despair by the challenges that face them every single day of their life. And the more we focus on remembering all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, the more it is becomes likely that our name, like our name and our family, remembering that, it's always on our minds and we will never forget it if we just immerse ourselves in all of those promises and those words of God. How great it would be to be so immersed in God's word that it becomes literally engraved in our minds. See, because the truth of the matter is, God is good. All the time. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.